Yeah. casa da vaquera ou rim?
I am a pilgrim.
Of sorrows, tears, and Continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God.
Amen.
For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Let me see that. Like I say, the prophet uses these scriptures when he preaches the message first. And you really do understand why. But sometimes he explains things in a real wonderful way. But the first thing to look at in this scripture is, let's just really consider what David was going through. Now the prophet says in the message first, this is 1965 Phoenix, right at the beginning of the message, he's just read the scripture, he says, I think David in the writing of this psalm must have been in distress. Yeah, so he was in distress, and if you really go and see it, he was fleeing from Absalom. We've said that before. So Absalom was after him. He had fled himself now from, you know, Jerusalem. He's had to go up the Mount of Olives. He doesn't really know what his future holds.
Amen.
He doesn't really know what's coming tomorrow. He doesn't know the direction that he should take. He's in one of those valleys of decision where you're not exactly sure what it is that you should do.
Amen.
You know, those aren't easy situations to be in.
Amen.
So the prophet said he must have been in distress. But he continues on to say, and it usually takes distress to bring the best out of a man.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's why nothing happens by chance to a believer.
Amen.
When you get to a situation like David there, when you can say that your soul is thirsting after God. Just like the deer is panting after the water brooks.
Amen.
You know, there's a reason for that. The Lord brings you to those situations for
Amen.
Us. Nothing happens just because there's no reason behind it, but there's a very particular something which the Lord is trying to achieve at those kind of times.
Amen.
You know, so David, he finds himself now in an urgent need. Yeah, he has all the natural needs as well. Obviously, he needs protection. He needs all these other things. But David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And you already see that by the desire of his soul.
Amen.
Because the soul's desire of David, he says it there, verse 2, in verse 1 as well, he says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so the soul of David was panting after God.
Amen.
But that is a sure sign of grace.
Yes. Amen.
In the life of a person, when your soul pants after God.
Amen.
And he's likened it to that deer when it's been chased by those hounds. Whatever the wounds, whatever to be in the wilderness. And it's been wounded and it's bleeding. Yeah, and it's thirsty. And it only has one hope. The only way that it can survive the situation that it's in, it's got to find the water brook. It's got to get into the water.
Amen.
When it gets into the water, it's going to stem the bleeding. It's going to quench its thirst. It's going to throw the enemy off track. And David is saying, and that's why the Lord allows this psalm to be recorded as his word, is that is the condition of a genuine believer. Yes.
Amen.
This is a believer when you're in a tight spot. When you're in a situation that you're dry inside of your soul. You know, you don't have sin inside of your life, but you get to a situation that you're thirsty.
Amen. Amen.
Because he goes on and he says, I was looking and thinking about the word thirst, so I looked it up in the dictionary to see what it means, and here's what Webster says. It's a painful desire.
Amen.
You know, so thirst is a painful desire. There's a difference between hunger and thirst.
Right.
Now, hunger is like a dull ache that you have. And if you don't eat for a few days, I mean, if anyone's fasted a lot of days, I've spoken to people that fasted 27 days and so forth. Now, after several days, you lose your hunger.
Amen.
That's right.
But it's not like that with thirst. Thirst is incessant in its demand.
Amen.
Thirst doesn't take no for an answer.
Right.
You know, it's not something you're ever going to get used to. The longer that you go without quenching that thirst, the stronger the desire becomes.
Amen. Amen.
Your thirst becomes. And God has ordained it so. Because you can't live long without water.
That's right.
You can live far longer without food. So God has put it inside of the makeup of us as mortal beings. That we've got to quench our thirst on a regular basis.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you get a thirst, It's a signal of something. You know, there's a reason for that thirst. When your body is, when your mouth is dry and you're thirsty like that, then your body can feel it. There's something inside of you that's calling out for something. Now, there's a certain situation you're in, and there's an answer to that situation. And that thirst is the something that's going to drive you to seek for the answer to the desire. And that's why thirst is such an important thing in the kingdom of God. You know, so yeah, we find David, he's thirsty. And what does he say in verse 2? He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Amen.
When shall I come and appear before God?
Yes.
So that is a real healthy condition to be in.
Amen.
Yeah, but the enemy obviously is after you at the same time, because if you're not having close communion, or you don't really feel fellowship and communion with God inside of your soul, that's the condition David was in.
Amen.
He was thirsty.
That's right.
He wanted to get himself back in communion, in fellowship with the living God. So he's in this condition that he's in distress. He doesn't know what his future holds. He doesn't know what he should do next. But to a believer, those things don't really matter.
Amen.
Because there's one solution. And that solution has always worked, no matter what the circumstances have been inside of your life. And that's to get in contact with the living God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many hounds of hell are after you.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how incessant your foes. It doesn't matter how they may have wounded you. But the solution is one. Your soul is demanding something of you.
Amen.
That's what thirst is. It's a demand that it's making of you. It says, please, you need to get in the presence of God.
Amen.
You need to get into the presence of divine reality once again.
Amen.
Because that's the only way you're going to overcome this situation.
Amen.
God puts us in those situations. You know, you'll see it. The prophet goes on. He says, it usually takes distress to bring the best out of a man. When God, when it gets down to when we will fast many times, to get ourselves in position to get ourselves out of the way. You know, so there's many times you're at ease in Zion. Many times you take the things of God for granted. Many times you take the sons and daughters of God for granted. Many times you take services for granted. Many times you take the goodness and the grace of God inside your life for granted. And you start getting at ease, you know, and you start getting spiritually lazy. I remember that brother once when he preached and he said, and I've always remembered it, that after a time of spiritual blessing, we tend to get lazy.
Amen.
And then we're vulnerable. Now, God's not going to leave it like that. So God has put something inside of us. It's a divine something He put inside of the soul of His sons and His daughters, and that is a thirst.
Amen.
And if you find yourself thirsting, it means the Lord's trying to get you in a condition once again. When you get to a situation like David, when he says, now, verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?
Even,
you get into those kind of times that you just can't seem to find the reality of God. You can't seem to find that communion that you had before.
Yeah.
It's like the Lord's not speaking to you. There's nothing personal between you and the Lord at that time.
Amen.
Almost every time in the experience of a believer, those experiences
Amen.
Because that very situation is God's provided way of preparing you for the blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Because you never realize the need. You never realize the importance of His blessing, His fellowship, His communion, of divine revelation, of His leadership, of His visitation. Until sometimes He needs to take it away from you.
Amen.
He needs to put you in a situation of distress.
Amen.
And the prophet says He puts you, He says, to get ourselves in a position to get ourselves out of the way.
Amen.
So He puts you in a situation that you realize that in this situation, I can't make a mistake.
Amen.
This is treacherous.
Amen.
This is a crossroads. This is a junction. This is
an important
part inside of my life.
Amen.
I can't afford. There's too much at stake here for me to lean upon.
Amen.
When everything's going well for you, can lean on your own understanding. No, you can. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what the word says. That's okay at some time. But the Lord's never going to allow his sons and daughters to get used to that kind of a condition inside of their life.
Amen.
So he brings you to these situations and he allows this thirst. He withdraws his presence. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Yes.
It's just as real watching over you in those kind of times as at other times when you feel his presence. But he doesn't commune with your soul because he's trying to create a condition inside of you. He wants to get you to a situation that if I don't find him, I'm going to perish. So that you'll seek him with all your heart.
Amen.
Because any divine blessing is worth the price that you paid.
Yes.
More than worth the price. That's why it says in Jeremiah, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you.
Amen.
So he's put you in these kind of situations many times where you don't know whether to turn to the left hand or the right. You look inside of your life, you look at the place that you are, and it brings you into a distress.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean at that kind of a time there's not other voices speaking to you.
Yes, that's right.
Because look at the voice of the enemy. They're saying in verse 3, where's your God? My friend, the enemy is right on your heels.
Amen.
And if the Lord is not speaking to you, the devil is speaking to you.
Yes.
And when it seems that God is not stepping into your situation at that time, because God is trying to create a thirst inside of you. God is trying to get you to the place of distress to bring the best out of you. God's trying to get you up to a place that you're going to seek him until nothing else is important to you inside of you.
Hallelujah.
Like David was. But at the same time, the enemy is going to come to you. And he's going to come, and instead of your soul, because it's your soul that's thirsting, God's interested in the soul, but the realm of your human spirit now. That's why he says, why art thou cast down within me? And the enemy is there, and you say, where's your God? Where's your God?
Amen.
Look at the situation again. Where's your God? And God allows those things.
Amen.
Because the more the enemy speaks to you, the soul of a believer becomes more desperate to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Because the only remedy to the voice of the enemy is the voice of God.
Amen.
The only remedy for you to overcome the anointing of the devil when he's drawing near to you is the anointing of God for him to draw near to you. In those kind of times, friends, it's not your intellect that's going to help you.
Amen.
It's not your opinions, not your human reasoning or understanding. There's one thing. You've got to quench your thirst.
Amen.
You've got to find the living God. Get yourself back in his presence once again.
Right.
And that's what God puts those conditions for. They're painful. Inside of your soul be painful. You wake up in the morning and you try to pray, but where's God? You take his word that was comforting you before, that was speaking to you, was feeding your soul. And now it doesn't seem to speak to you anymore. And you search yourself and you get on your face before God and say, but Lord, I'm doing more than I normally do, but before you were so real. Before your presence was so real to me, but where are you now?
Hallelujah. Amen.
And there'll be distress, because at that time there'll be some challenge in your life, like with David. There'll be some kind of a crisis.
Yes.
Maybe sickness will come in. Maybe temptation will come in. Something will be there where you need to make a decision. You need to know, what am I going to do here? Friend, those become blessed times.
Amen.
Those become the conditions for blessing.
Amen.
If you can react the right way.
Amen.
That's all that you're going to do is at that kind of time, listen to your soul.
Amen.
Because that's what David did. Look at what he does. He says in verse 4, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Our friends, pour out your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
And now look what he starts remembering back. For I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. He starts thinking back, saying, but hey, my, when we had the convention, it was such a blessing. When I went up to the house of God with the brethren, was such a jubilee to me. And the more he thinks of what God has done for him in the past, the more thirsty he becomes. Ah, friend. That's good.
Amen.
He starts thinking back, says, but Lord, you were so real then. I remember going up to the temple on that special day when you brought the Ark of the Covenant. I remember your presence. I remember penning that psalm. I remember dancing before the Ark. I remember seeing the glowing on the faces of your people. And when he thinks back to those experiences that have gone by, it just increases the thirst inside.
Amen.
And the more that he thinks about the goodness of God in the past, the more he realizes, my Lord, I need you now.
Yes.
I need to raise you up from there. It was wonderful what you did there, Lord, but the more I think of that, the more it makes, I want you now.
Amen.
I want to bring you down into my experience now.
Yes.
That's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting the living God.
Hear that?
But his spirit, the rest of him, is speaking to him as well. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Do you ever speak to yourself like that?
Yes.
It's like there's a fear inside of you, and there's a faith inside of you. There's
amen. Yes.
Amen. And this fear wants to rise up, and you say to yourself, hope in God.
Amen.
He's always delivered me in days gone.
Hallelujah.
And there'd be something else that's been speaking to say, but hey, this isn't looking good. This is, you've never been in this kind of a situation before. It's something your soul will be communicating, you'll be speaking to yourself, saying, but Lord, he's never will leave me. He'll never
amen.
Somehow he's going to get me out of this situation. That's what David's doing in the midst of his distress. He's not hearing from God, but he's speaking to himself.
Amen.
He's trying to find some encouragement. He's trying to stimulate his faith. He's trying to do something at that kind of a time. He says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his people. That was his testimony. Brother Greg asked me the other week, he was not feeling well. And he asked me, he said, Brian, what can I say to my wife? She can see that I'm not feeling well. You know, should I say to her honestly that I'm not feeling well? Was that a bad testimony? I said, no, bro, there's two different things here. And I read that scripture to him and I said, look, there's David's condition and there's David's testimony. Those are two different things.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong being honest about your condition. And you come to the house of God and you put a prayer request and say, please, saints, I've been to the hospital. No, they say I need to go for an operation. Please. I'm putting my faith in God.
Amen.
It's not a negative testimony.
Yes.
Right. You're being honest about your condition, but your testimony is positive.
Amen.
Keep your testimony right.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we must be fanatic. If the demons attack you with sickness, there's nothing wrong in mentioning what the sickness is.
Amen.
As long as in the next breath you say, but I know the Lord is the healer.
Amen.
I know this isn't any, but the Lord's going to allow me to prevail over this.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, so there's nothing wrong being honest about your condition. The prophet came in snow, white dove, he would speak about his condition. Ever since I was young, I had these problems. I went to Mayo Brothers and they did this and I went for tests. But that wasn't his testimony.
That's right.
His testimony was a different thing. So you've got to keep your testimony right.
Amen.
Yes.
Be honest about your condition. There's nothing wrong with that. David here, he's being honest about his condition. He's saying, I'm depressed. Why am I depressed like this? What's his testimony? Hope in God.
Amen.
Because I'm going to praise him again.
Amen.
He's testifying. Although he's not feeling it at that time, but he's testifying. And when he thinks back to times gone by, he's getting encouragement from there to expect another visitation from the living God. That's what he's doing when he's in this situation. And that's why the prophet, when you read this message, this one first, he speaks about that and he says, it's usually takes distress to bring the best out of a man. Gets down to when we fast many times to get ourselves in position to get ourselves out of the way.
Amen.
And I think when David got in these places, he began to meditate upon the Lord, began to think about these things. So that was the right thing. Friend, he could have been trying himself to fix his situation. He could have allowed unbelief to come to say, well, I'm going to head out of here. You know, I'm not going to face up to the situation anymore. There could have been many other things he could have tried to do as a natural man. But he started to meditate upon the things of God. The prophet then says, many times God gets us in tight corners where we have to look up.
Amen.
Sometimes we even have to get on our back in the hospital or in a bed somewhere so we can look up and see where the great blessings of God come from.
Amen.
Because we get used to it.
Amen.
We take it for granted. It's like it's not something precious or special to us anymore. So the Lord says, that's not healthy for you, my child.
Amen.
So he puts you in a situation of distress.
Amen.
And he takes away a lot of the blessing. And he allows your soul to thirst once again.
Amen.
He allows you to come back to how you used to be.
Amen.
Because it's only when you get to that place, blessed are they that hunger and thirst.
Amen.
For righteousness, they shall be filled.
Amen.
Right. He's got to get you to that place that is more important than anything else.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your boss says at work. It doesn't matter about your studies for God. You get to that stage once.
Amen.
Amen.
I need God.
Amen. Amen.
If I don't need him, if I don't need him, the enemy's on my heels. Lord,
yes.
I need you.
Amen.
And it's God who's engineered that situation.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Get something from your soul because your soul was relaxed at ease in Zion. The fridge was full and everything was going well. That's why he allows these things to come inside of our lives.
Amen.
And that's why he says it's a painful desire. He says the meaning. He says, when you want something so bad, until it's painful for you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Every believer knows those things.
Amen.
You will search your heart at those
things. Hallelujah.
You will confess, David says, I even confess the things I didn't do. Right. You will search your heart and say, but Lord, what is it?
Yeah.
I sinned against you, Lord. I don't have what I had before. I'm thirsty for you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, speak to me, please. Lord, I need your presence. I need divine reality inside of my life once again. Friend, that's just God creating the conditions.
Amen.
So he can give you a fresh visitation. Yes.
Amen.
So he can do something, establish a testimony, raise you up to the next level. Whatever it is, and you look back inside of your life, it always takes a certain something.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That he brings you to a place like that.
Amen.
And the soul of a believer kicks in at that time.
Yeah.
And all the soul wants is the living God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter about food. It doesn't matter about drink. It doesn't matter about your reputation. It doesn't matter about what people say. It doesn't matter about how long you sleep on your bed. You'll get up early in the morning.
Amen.
You will lie meditating on your bed because great thirst is something that doesn't take no for an answer.
Amen.
It's incessant. It's insatiable. It's there all the time.
Amen.
Now listen how he explains it. He says, now, it's not an unnatural thing to thirst. Thirst is a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simply something that God has given us. That we desire for something. It's a control tower. Something that sits inside of you that controls these different desires. And this thirst, this control tower that sits in that man's heart is something that God gives him to warn him of the desires that's needful for him.
Amen.
So when you're thirsty, it's a warning, my friend.
Amen.
If your soul is thirsty, then God is warning you. The control tower is warning you to say, you need to seek me.
Amen.
You need to seek me with all your heart.
Amen.
You need to pay attention to the something that's just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger the longer you don't pay attention.
Amen.
That's why that first, that inward desire in the soul of a person for the living God, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's absolutely the grace of God.
Amen.
Now he speaks of the natural man. God gives him that thirst in a measure, in a different kind of a way. And he goes thirsty and he goes and he gets drunk and he goes gets into all of his science and all of his drugs and all that to try to quench that desire. But God had put it inside of a person to warn them that there's something you need at this time.
Right.
And David knew, I have a great need here. And as the deer pants after the water brooks,
My soul is panting after God.
Amen.
Lord, I need you. The situation is desperate. Show me what to do. Show me which way that I should go. Come and say to my soul once again, I am your salvation. That's what he desired.
Amen.
To know what he desired to do. Then he speaks of two different kinds of thirst. Now the natural and the spiritual. And he says, but David said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The prophet says, not some historic. Your soul cannot ever survive for long on the historic.
Amen.
Yes, there's testimonies of yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
And to be honest, friend, the testimonies of your past should serve one desire, to give you a deeper thirst.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's what they should do.
That's right.
We should never comfort ourselves and say, you know, but last year God was real to you. God delivered. That's fine. But God has put a certain something inside of you that's not satisfied with that.
Amen. Amen.
And the longer you go without a present tense testimony, without present tense communion and fellowship with God, the more thirsty your soul becomes.
Amen.
And start speaking with a louder voice.
Yes.
And start saying to you, hey, please, I need my daily bread.
Amen.
I need my daily manna.
Yes.
I need the living waters.
Hallelujah.
That's the only thing that can quench my
thirst.
Amen.
So, this is not some historical, something that happened some years ago, or some tale that somebody told, but for the living God, for a God that's ever present.
Amen.
His soul thirsted for that God.
Amen.
Our friend. That's the God we're thirsting for in our souls here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in order to meet him, you've got to seek him.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, if other things are more important to you tonight, you're not going to meet him.
Amen.
If you're not thirsting for him, you're not going to meet him.
Yes.
But as for me, I'm thirsty for him.
Amen.
I want to get in his presence.
Amen.
I want his presence in my soul.
Amen.
I don't want to come to church and sing song worship and I'm thinking about, you know, I forgot to do this at home. I think let's book a holiday in summer and all those kind of things. My friend, if you're a child of God, God's not going to leave you like that.
Amen.
God's going to bring a situation to bring thirsty.
Amen.
And when that situation comes, it's the grace of God to you.
Amen.
Because God wants to be real today.
Amen.
He doesn't want to be real just a year ago.
Amen.
So you'll bring trouble in the home. You'll bring trouble in the family. Amen. Trouble in your body. Trouble at work. Whatever he has to do.
That's right.
To raise up this thirst once.
Amen. Amen.
God's not going to allow his sons and his daughters to see God.
Amen.
Being satisfied without the living God.
Amen.
He's never going to allow.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just finish it off. He says now, we find God gives the control tower to you to give you the things that you need.
Thank you, Lord.
So he gives you the thirst. He creates this thirst. There's a deep he creates inside of you.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes by totally not communing with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes by bringing trouble all around you. Nothing comforts you anymore. Before, when things were fine, you could go at college and all your worldly friends and I could have a good time with them. Now you go and you're just not at home anymore.
Amen.
It doesn't satisfy. Everybody's looking at you and saying, hey, what's wrong? Inside of you. And then the Lord allows the devil to try. And the devil comes and starts to challenge you. And friends, one thing the devil knows is the greatest misfortune to a believer would be to lose the favor of God.
Yes.
Right.
Take my job. Take my money. Take my health. Take anything from me. But don't take my favor in Isaiah.
Amen.
Once I lose everything.
Amen.
And that's why the enemy comes to you at that time and says, where's your God? The prophet says he couldn't tell me that there wasn't a God because I'd seen him.
Amen.
But he was trying to tell me he didn't care for me. And that's the trial, friends.
Amen.
When the devil comes in and he says to you, look at them rejoicing. Look at that testimony. Did you see brother so-and-so was here? What about you? Where's your God?
Wow. Amen.
God is creating the conditions, if you would allow it and go the right way, seek him with all your heart.
Amen.
God's going to meet you in an understanding.
Amen.
God has allowed that situation to
be. Amen.
Don't forget, Brother Davey, from the song leader in the north.
Mm. Amen.
The devil's a sheepdog.
Amen.
Amen.
The devil's just there to push the little sheep back to the shepherd.
Amen.
You don't think you don't need the shepherd.
Amen.
You'll take it for granted the shepherd's always watched over me. And you'll stray a little bit further. And the shepherd will say, okay, you've gone far enough, my friend.
Yeah.
Whistles. Off goes the sheepdog.
Lord.
Yay! Life changes for the little sheep.
Thank you, Lord.
Instantly. He just sees teeth. He just sees fur. Mm. He just sees eyes looking at him. And whereas before he's eating their green pastures, all his work, but now all he thinks about is, where's the shepherd?
Amen.
I need to get to the shepherd.
Thank you.
I was taking advantage of the shepherd. I didn't realize his importance to me.
Amen.
And then that sheepdog drives a little sheep.
Are you talking to me, pastor? Keep talking.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need it.
Amen.
Because we've got this dual nature in us.
Amen.
Yeah, there's this confident guy who knows what he's doing in life. The ego, And then there's your soul. You realize I need him every step.
Amen.
Yes, without him, nothing without him. I can do nothing without him. I can make wrong decisions. Without him, my life's a disaster. Yeah, and when the one starts having the preeminence over the other, the Lord's going to look down at your soul and say, no.
Amen.
This has gone far enough. And it's going to bring a situation, and it's going to come a thirst. And you're not going to be satisfied with anything. Whereas before, when you looked at your big paycheck going into the bank at the end of the month, you felt all is well. It's nothing to you.
Amen.
You say, what is this money? It doesn't satisfy. When you had all of your friends and your big reputation, you know, and you could go and find a comfort in that, it doesn't comfort you anymore.
No.
It's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's for creating a thirst inside you. It says, now God gives a control tower to you to give you the things that you need. So it creates a thirst in you because there's something that you need. But the only way you're going to get it from him, you're going to have to seek him. You have to approach him the right way.
Amen.
What he wants you to have has to become as important to you as it is to him.
Hallelujah.
Now, that is not just an option. Okay, I think I'll go to church on Sunday. Maybe I won't go. I've been going the last few weeks. I think I'll take a Sunday off. Look at David in his situation. God puts him in a situation that he's not able to go to church anymore. And what does he think about? He says, if only I could get back to the house of God.
Amen.
If only I could get back and see the joy on the faces of the sons and daughters of God. When we were going up the holy mountain, we were singing the songs of Zion. That's a genuine belief.
Amen.
Amen.
Other people, if you said, saints, you're going to be moving church, we'll have no church for a month. It should be heaven for some people. But that testifies of the condition of your soul.
Amen.
You don't have a soul like David. You're not a man or a woman after God's own heart. But you're a genuine believer. Oh, friend, when you don't have fellowship, when you don't have committed to you, the house of God is not optional.
Amen.
I need his house.
Amen.
I need to be with his people.
Amen.
I need to be in his presence. I need to be appearing before my God.
Amen.
David wasn't just satisfied with his personal prayer.
Hallelujah.
Praying now. I need the house of God. I need fellowship in that kind of way. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. So the prophet finishes up this thought and he says, the control tower in you is what directs you. And this thirst, this control tower, tells you what you have need of spiritually speaking.
Amen.
Imagine if you didn't have it. You'd think everything's okay. You're walking in presumption. You're just leading yourself. You're just doing your own things. And your soul is still satisfied like it normally was. That's deception. God
that's
right. Deceive his children like that. So the moment the Lord starts to see, but your attitude's changing, my friend. The way you're looking at me, the way you're looking at my word, the way that you're not esteeming prayer anymore, you're not esteeming my house anymore. The Lord now uses the control tower.
Amen.
And he creates a thirst inside you.
Amen.
And it becomes a painful desire. To say, Lord, I've lost something, Lord.
Thank you.
It's like those Hebrew mothers
They had a thirst to have children.
Amen.
A painful desire.
Amen.
Who was it? Was it Rebecca who said, give me children or I die? They all wanted to bring forth the seed, the Messiah. That was their desire they had.
Amen.
And when their wombs were barren, they couldn't comfort themselves. Like Hannah, she couldn't comfort herself in that condition. And God allowed there to be a thirst. He allowed the voice of the enemy to speak against her. He allowed others around her living in sin to prosper. But her was a thirst.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord allowed that thirst to rise because it was a need.
Amen.
He had it. He wanted his prophet to usher in the kingdom of David.
Amen.
So he allows her to go through that until she becomes so thirsty. At first she reacts like normally we would. You know, she gets depressed, she complains about it. Yeah. And that year when she goes up to the tabernacle, it's different that time.
Amen.
She says, I need the living God. I'm tired of coming here. I'm tired of crying about this. I'm tired of complaining about this to my husband. Now I need the living God.
Amen.
The thirst had become so insatiable, so unquenchable inside of her. She didn't worry about what people thought anymore. That's when God gave her what he always wanted to give her.
Right. Amen.
But he had to get her to seek like that. So he had to create a condition inside of her life like that.
Amen.
So that she would seek in a certain way, that he would answer in a special way and bring forth something beyond the normal testimonies of other people.
Yes.
That's the way that it works. Amen. He says, it tells you what you need. He says, what's needed in your body is brought to you by thirst. And there's a control tower in your soul. And it tells you the spiritual things that you have need of. Something in your spirit. And you, by this, can tell what kind of a life is controlling you.
Amen.
If you want to know whether you're a believer, every believer can say amen to this.
Amen.
Every believer knows this.
Right?
That your soul is never going to be satisfied with the music of the world.
Yes.
Your soul is never going to be satisfied with the flesh pots of Egypt, pornography and those things. That's your flesh desires those things. But your soul, you know in my experience, there's only one thing that satisfies your
soul.
And that's when you appear before your God.
Amen.
That's when you have communion with the living God once again.
Amen.
And my friend, if your soul is like that, you're a child of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
But if your soul isn't like that, you're not yet a child of grace.
Amen.
You may know all the quotes, like we said, like Lot's wife. You may know the prophet's life story. You may have been in his meetings. You may know all about his testimonies, about Elohim and Melchizedek and all that, like Lot's wife knew. But inside of there, the control tower. She wasn't the same as the others.
That's right.
She was still thirsting for Sodom. Abraham, he thirsted for the living God.
Amen.
Does it doesn't mean I've got to live up here in the dry, barren lands of Hebron. Mamre, the plains of Mamre. It doesn't matter if I don't have the fashions of the world, the riches down there in Sodom. Those things are going to... It's only the one thing I desire, that he keeps coming to visit me. That's all I desire. As long as he just keeps appearing in the heat of the day. And he comes and communes with me. My soul is satisfied. That's how you know, my friend, whether you're born again or not.
Yes.
Whether you're a child of God or not, nothing else is an evidence.
Amen.
The promise is, what were you and what are you now?
That
will tell you.
Amen.
So he finishes the last paragraph. He says, when you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something is in you.
Hallelujah.
That's creating this desire that you have.
Amen.
So if inside of your heart you're desiring prostitutes, you're desiring worldly magazines, you're desiring Beyonce, there's a thirst inside of you. Your parents may try to stop you and hold you back, but when you're given the liberty, there's a thirst that wants to express itself. It shows there's something that's controlling.
Right.
Amen.
But now to a believer, there's a thirst inside of you. There's a thirst. Listen how he said. He says, you see, there's a certain thing that you thirst for. And it can tell you inside of your soul what the desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have.
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, the prophet is saying it in broken English.
Amen. Amen.
And this now divides between the soul and the spirit. This divides between the bone and the marrow. This
Amen.
Is the word coming to you.
Amen.
And you can fool everybody, but you can't fool yourself, and you can't
Amen.
Fool
Amen.
You know what you're thirsting for.
Amen.
You know today what your thirst is for.
Mm.
You know the only thing that satisfies you inside of your life, and by this and by this alone, you can tell whether you're a man or woman after God's own heart, like David, or you can tell that you're still in the process, and you don't want to stay there.
No. Amen.
And that's why it says by the nature. He says, I hope that you can understand that. My friend, whatever you're going through, that's why you find with the son and daughter of God, the times of distress, the times of affliction, times of misunderstanding, are far more regular than the people in the world.
Amen.
And that when you become a believer, you are. You just have so many more things like this take place inside of your life.
Amen.
Things just go wrong. Things just don't work. No, you'll apply. I applied for my papers. I remember when we came in 2000. I was entitled to them by birthright,
right?
By my ancestry. I got my papers here from 2000. In 2004, there were people that came in and crooked the system. They put their papers in and got them within 2 months. It's amazing, friends.
Amen.
But there's times God wants to keep you depending on Him.
Amen.
There's times God wants you to be in a situation that you don't understand your future.
Right.
That your future's in the balance.
Amen.
So that there'll be a thirst inside of you that you cannot go weeks and weeks out of His presence. It's unbearable. You need fellowship. You need communion. You need to be feeding your faith.
Amen.
You need something to be satisfying your soul, the presence of the living God, to satisfy you, to keep you and reassure you all through those times of your wilderness. And that's why the times of wilderness sometimes are the most precious times.
Amen.
Depending on how you react.
Amen.
And that's why the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Amen.
But God delivers you from them all.
Amen.
It's a testimony of a woman. So friends, let's really obey our thirst. Let's come before the Lord and let's seek Him.
Hallelujah.
Let's not be set aside just with feelings and others and psychology. We don't want that. We want something that satisfies the deep longing of the righteous
Amen.
Soul.
Amen.
Something like that deer when it gets to the water and it drinks. And then it moves further down and it drinks again. And it crosses the stream and keeps crossing backwards and forwards and gets the enemy off its track. If your enemy is saying, where is your God? God has allowed it to be like that. Because He wants to show that enemy where your God is.
Amen.
He's trying to create a thirst inside of you so that you'll seek Him in a way that's worthy of Him intervening in your situation.
Yes.
If you're going to sit back in a half-hearted fashion and say, God, I need your help, don't expect the heavens to move.
That's right.
Amen.
Expect the thirst to increase.
Amen.
Until it gets to a stage that enough is enough.
Amen.
I've had this long enough. Now you get down to business with God.
Amen.
And the prophet says, every time you get down to business with God, there's promises.
Amen.
Yeah. The earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
There's so many promises to the soul that seeks Him, singular seeking, not a divided heart.
Amen.
You've got to have Him or perish. I guarantee you're going to find
it. Amen.
So let's come to prayer. Say,
Lord, yes.
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's sing one song. Let's come to prayer.
Amen.
First of all, you pray about the condition of your own soul.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And whatever the Lord lays upon your soul as well. That's one request. There's a girl from our children's school up in the north. She's turned 7 months. Her name is Elsa. She's went last week to the doctor because she had a very painful back and they found cancer in the back. So she's in the hospital. I was reading about it. The children came and said they were asked to pray for her. They sent
So I'd really ask them if you'd put it in print.
Amen.
That the Lord would visit with me when she's reading in the newspaper up in the north today. She's a real brave little girl. It's a really touching story. But she's going through a lot. So I really wanted to ask the same to me. Let's put that before the Lord. Because that is the devil. And it's really challenging. Is there anything else the Lord lays upon your heart?
Amen.
Amen.
Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Him, of my soul, bread of heaven.
saints, let's put ourselves before the Lord. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, whatever the expression of your soul is, let's come and pour out our souls.
Lord, you satisfy beyond anything else that can ever be desired by the enemy. Father, there is nothing else, Lord, that compares to you. Lord, you are full of the eyes. Father, I thank you in my soul. Father, for you will not let me go.
This is put his request once again, Brother Andres and family are asking for prayer as they travel to Lithuania for 2 weeks on Sunday morning. We want to pray for them. We want to pray as well for Sister Juba and Savior. They're not well this evening. We are asking for prayer that the Lord will touch them. This young girl in the north with cancer, we're asking the Lord to really touch her, to do something for her. Does anybody else have any prayer requests? Anything else? We want to keep our outreach next weekend in prayer to Carlo next Saturday. Let's really pray about that, Brother Woman.
A lady passed by our house yesterday. She has a very sick son. And I was trying to tell her that we'll be praying for you. She's really desperate.
Amen.
And the saints would remember the little boy. I think he's got cancer as well. So, yeah.
Amen. Let's pray about that, saints.
Amen.
When I really saw that little girl, you think about it, it was one of your children.
Amen.
And to be in the hospital and all those kind of things. Mm. Friends, let's really come before the Lord. And those kind of needs, let's put them before the Lord.
Amen.
Anything else? Any other petitions? Let's put these all together, all of us, once again before the Lord. Says, let's come and put the needs of the saints. Let's put Sunday service in prayer. Let's pray for Brother Christian and the saints, that the Lord will bless them, Brother Tom, Brother Billy, Brother George Quinn, and Brother David Nash. He's planning to come to visit us in June. Let's pray about that. And there's a lot of different things which we're planning. Let's pray. We're trying to still arrange meetings for St. Patrick's Day weekend. I invited Brother Rubans on that, but I don't think he's going to be strong enough to do it. So let's really put these things before the Lord. We need the Lord, friends. We need him every step of the way. We need him to continue to help us to go onwards and upwards and forwards. Let's pray for Sister Susan. Let's pray for the family, her dad, her uncle, and them that are in mourning back home there in Zimbabwe. Whatever other need the Lord puts upon your heart, let's bring it before the Lord. Let's pray once more and put these things before.
Indication and a warning, Lord, when we are low, Lord Savior, even of unction, Lord Savior God. Father, knowing any Lord, the unction doesn't come, Lord Savior, alone from this sight, Lord. But Lord, Father, it's that separation that we desire from the service, Lord Savior God. As we, Lord Savior God, can Father find time with you, O God. Give us grace, we pray. We thank thee for even your presence in this service. We bless you. We praise you.
Us, Brother Will, would you come and close to us, please, in the other prayer? Right?
many times, Lord, we walk in these blind places and we do not know what is happening. Father, we begin to ask ourselves, Lord, we begin to fast. Many times we don't know what to do. But tonight you've been merciful to us, Lord, to bring your word in such a way that's grace to us, Lord.
Amen.
In that, Father, you have shown us that we may understand the times that we pass through, Lord, and not only that, Lord, but you have gone beyond it, Lord.
Amen.
And you have shown us that which you will be looking for us in our hearts, Lord.
Amen.
You have shown us how we ought to respond, how we ought to seek thee, Lord, until we find
you.
We thank you tonight for that, O God. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place tonight, that, Father, we will continue to meditate on this word. And that, Father, when that hunger, when that thirst comes upon us, Lord, may it never be satisfied by anything else. For there is nothing that can satisfy the thirst that comes in the soul of a person besides thy word, Lord, besides thy presence. So we pray, Father, that, Lord, when it comes, help us never to quench it with anything, but that, Father, we may be honest within ourselves and lay everything else aside, Lord, and that we would seek you until we find you. Father, help us, oh God, for how do we know whether it is our last chance? Lord, there are many, many people that even desire to even thirst. For it says, Lord, that we are blessed even when we only even just thirst, Lord. So help us, Lord, that when that thirst comes upon us, Lord, that, Father, we take it not for granted and think that it will just go away. But, Lord, let it be so strong, Lord, that even the bed would not mean anything. That we would wake up, Lord, and go and look for you, Lord. For you be near, Lord, Father. Please be merciful, O God. That, Father, we would not leave it, Lord, until you have spoken unto us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Bless him tonight, Lord, for bringing the encyclopedia of our lives and preaching it right in front of us, that we may understand the things that we go through. For many times we are perplexed and we would perish because of lack of knowledge, Lord. But you are merciful, Lord, in that you don't want us to perish, but that, Lord, you are so desiring that we would know that you are preparing something for us, Lord, and that we want to walk, Lord, in a way that would allow the atmosphere for you to come in our lives, oh God. Please, Lord, help us, Father. Lord, even as we go home tonight, to continue to remember these little ones that have been mentioned. Kenza has come to put fear in the hearts of people, to strike fear, Lord, that they have no other option. But we know of a message that was promised, Lord, that if we would believe, even Kenza would be destroyed. It cannot stand in the face of that message. And that message has been preached here tonight, and we are believing it, oh God, that for the sake of those little children, Lord, we pray that you may come near, Lord. You know where they live, you know their very address, and we pray tonight, Father, that you would break the power of the enemy, that the fear that comes in the heart when cancer is announced may it be broken, and that we may hear testimony for also in this country, Lord. They must know also that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is a God that is still living, that can heal cancer. Lord, we know that, God, you are our God, and you can do it, Lord. We pray, Father, that it may be a testimony, Lord, that would bring many to Christ. Help us, oh Father. We believe it, oh God, and we pray for our brethren that are traveling on Sunday. Go with them, oh Lord, and bring them safely, oh Father. We pray also for every plan, Lord, that we have, every program for this church. Lord, we ask that you may be in it, Lord, for we don't want to do anything in vain. Lord, we want it, Lord, to be coming from the kingdom of heaven to edify your children. So we pray, Father, that you may be in all of it, that you would inspire
us walk in those ways, Father, that you have prepared for us, Lord. And help us not to forsake them, Lord, but that we be walking in them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we glorify your name. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just dismiss with that song. There's a deep and inward hunger. Deep in my soul. God has promised in his word.
Amen.
Great promises.
Amen.
Amen.
Deep in my soul.